empty backfield. Jackson a threat to run or throw here. On third down and a long eight from his own 27. Snap right to his belt. Under pressure. Fires it. Intercepted. Left side. Honey Badger's got it. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Kansas City. Tyrann Mathieu. Boy, is he active. How about a 34-yard pick six? The Honey Badger don't care. He's into the end zone. Kansas City and Mahomes leading by four at 21-17. 3 minutes into the third quarter, another blitz. They read it. 30-yard line against the hot read. Left side on the angle. It goes to Pringle. 15 at the 10. Angling five. Touchdown! Kansas City! Whatever! The Ravens have started blitzing, and Mahomes has started punishing. It is a 40-yard hot read catch-and-run touchdown for Byron Pringle from Patrick Mahomes. Ravens show a blitz from Queen up the middle, delayed. Mahomes moving to his right, gets a block from Niang. Pass is caught. Near side, Kelce, 40-yard line, 35-30, downfield blockers, 25-20. Kelce still on the move at the 10, catch it back inside the 5, and drags a Raven all the way into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. One of the great catches and runs by the best tight end in the business. 46-yard catch and run by Kelce. Third and 12 for the Chiefs. Now at their own, well, just shy of midfield. But the Ravens are playing deep zone here. Here comes a four-man rush, delayed blitz. Mahomes stepping up and gets rid of the football. It's going to be intercepted. The first interception thrown by Patrick Mahomes in September in his career. And that's one he should have eaten at 2:01 to go in the third quarter. And near midfield, Mahomes in desperation trying to find Kelce. Ball at the Raven 32 with 1:27 to go in the game. Chiefs trailing 36-35. Edwards-Helaire fumbles the ball. He fumbles the ball. Edwards-Helaire stripped. And I think the Ravens have it. At 36-35, Ravens, and it's the Ravens have the football. Clyde Edwards-Helaire stripped from the ball as he was trying to advance. Knocked out and knocked out by Odafe Owe, I believe. And they've got it fourth and one, they say officially at the 43. The Chiefs also have to hold their water here. Jackson, fourth down, he's going to run a power play to the left side. He forces across the 45, and he's got a first down. The Ravens are going to win it.
And that's how it went down last night. Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs, week one, probably should have lost. Last night, probably should have won. So they're probably where they should be. They're 1-1, could easily be 0-2, could easily be 2-0. They're 1-1. Chiefs lose 36-35 to the Ravens. And I will share with you some thoughts that, you know, people, Chiefs Kingdom just absolutely overreacts to a loss. It's week two, and I've got people saying season's over. No. You should be a KU Jayhawk football fan, okay? The season's not over. Then there's criticism because Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled the ball. Why were we running the ball? Well, if you just look at the situation, it's not really that hard to figure out if you have any semblance of any football knowledge. They were trying to milk the clock so Lamar Jackson wouldn't get the ball. So you want Mahomes to carry the ball? You want Mahomes? Because this is what I hear from Chiefs fans. Mahomes shouldn't, we don't want him taking extra hits. We don't want him running the option. We don't want him running the quarterback sneak. So usually the safest play you have is to hand the ball off. So if Mahomes, you're not, if you're Chiefs Kingdom, if you're sitting here saying, I don't want Mahomes to be running the ball, and the Chiefs are trying to milk the clock so that Lamar Jackson has no time left so you can kick a game-winning field goal, which, by the way, the Chiefs have done this many times in Mahomes' career where they have settled for the field goal to win, and it almost always works out. Mm-hmm. And I don't hear Chiefs fans ripping Andy Reid because I saw this one dumb comment from Cody Tapp that, or no, it wasn't Cody Tapp. My apologies to Cody Tapp. It was somebody else. Maybe it was him, but I don't think it was. Anyway, it was somebody put out there and they said, that's how it is. Harbaugh goes for the win and Andy settles for a field goal. The field goal would have won the game. So Andy was playing to win the game too, dipstick. I mean, they're down one. They don't need a touchdown. They have one of the best kickers in the National Football League. Okay. He's been pretty clutch when it comes to final second kicks. I mean, he's made 50 yarders and did it twice against the Chargers early last year on back-to-back kicks.
Three times.
Yeah.
There was
that's
three.
Right. Yeah. He had three. That's right. He kicked three. Two were because of clock, timeouts, penalties, whatever. I mean, they've got a really good kicker. So I see people, well, you don't take the ball out of the hands of Patrick Mahomes. Well, then you wanted him to run the ball? Because if the Chiefs would have thrown a pass and it was incomplete, you know what the Chiefs fans would have said? Why aren't you running the ball? You're leaving too much time on the clock. And here's the other thing that Chiefs fans tend to miss because they want to just focus on the fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If the defense was worth a damn, the Chiefs wouldn't have to worry about leaving time on the clock at the end. So if you want to blame anybody, the defense you can blame because Andy Reid doesn't trust his defense. So he's like, dude, there's no way in heck I'm going to give Lamar any time. So how do you run down the clock? You run the football, even if it doesn't gain anything. Okay, a guy made a great play. Where's the criticism for the offensive line? Because the guy shot through pretty easy and punched through. That was the left side of the offensive line. Joe Tooney, 28-year-old pro bowler they picked up from Patriots, didn't do his best job on that play. Orlando Brown, left tackle, wasn't exactly stellar on that play. But everybody's going to blame Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He got drilled as soon as he tried to make a cut. And it was a punch out. It wasn't like Clyde was holding like a loaf of bread like DeMarcus Robinson. Sometimes stuff like that happens. It can happen in a bad time. But to sit here and say that we need to cut Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that he's a complete bust as a first-round pick, and all this other stuff is ridiculous and ludicrous. I mean, do you want to cut Patrick Mahomes? Because he had the dumbest turnover the whole night. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes had the dumbest play of the entire night. You know, Lamar Jackson's first pass, his receiver fell down. That's why that was so easy. His second pass, he got fooled by the defense. But the one by Mahomes was just absolutely, you don't do that. And yet today, everybody's ripping Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he fumbled the ball. There are a lot of people ripping the defense, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And everybody gives Mahomes a pass. Well, that's Mahomes. Dude, he had DeMarcus Robinson open by 15 yards. I went back. I've looked at this 1,000 times already.
So is he.
Yes, and Mahomes has too. And Mahomes even said it. You'll hear him in a little bit. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson was open by 15 yards. There was nobody near him. Now, this is what Mahomes had some problems with in the Super Bowl last year, and he said it after the game. He said it all offseason. I've got to take what the defense gives me. And there was a simple example of he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, he trusts him. He throws the ball to him. He threw him for a touchdown. I'm not a big fan of DeMarcus Robinson, but he's the guy that's wide open. And if he's wide open on the field, you throw it to him. And that would have definitely not turned it over. That's where that's where the game changed. Mm. When Mahomes threw that pick, we were listening to this game because I was in Manhattan, had to take some kids to a basketball thing. We were driving back, and my son was in the front seat, my oldest son, and a couple of the kids were in the back. And it was 35-24, and I said, and that was after the Chiefs scored the touchdown, go up 35-24 on the Kelce catch. Mm-hmm. I turned to my son, and I said, if the Chiefs get a stop here, then all I got to do is score one more, just get a stop, score, and that's the game. That's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. I said, and I also told my son, I said, it's 35-24. Chiefs are up 11. The only way they lose is if they beat themselves. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. I literally said that. I said, the only way the Chiefs lose is if they turn the ball over. And lo and behold, 35-24, the defense, the one time the Chiefs defense gets a three and out and gets a punt, the Ravens punt it. The Chiefs have the ball at midfield. And Mahomes has this boneheaded play on 3rd and 12, trying to be a hero. And all he had to do is dump it to the guy wide open. He forces it. It's picked off. Now you got the defense coming right back onto the field. And the defense, of course, can't do anything the rest of the game. That's where the game changed. Mm. That's where the game changed. The Chiefs, you know, this is a team and collective effort loss. There's no doubt the defense was abysmal, okay? And the offense was pretty doggone good, except fourth quarter, the offense did nothing. The offense went three and out. The offense did not score any points in the fourth quarter. Okay, now part of that is the Ravens had the ball, a good portion of it. But the Chiefs, when they had an opportunity to put this game away on offense, they did not. They had a chance. Mahomes had a boneheaded play. Let's call it what it is. I know he's a $500 million man. He's my favorite player. I love the guy. I do. I think he's fantastic. But he's not perfect. But the Chiefs fans aren't sitting here saying cut Patrick Mahomes. But they're saying cut Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He got hit. The ball was punched out. Mahomes was lying sideways, decided to throw a ball into triple coverage. I mean, and the guy was open by 15 yards, and he even knows it. He even said, I saw him. Mahomes says it. He knows it. He just decided to be stubborn and go for a different play, which means he was going to force it to Kelce. The game changed on that interception because then the Ravens have half the field to go. They score a touchdown. Now it's game on. Now it's game on. And the Chiefs didn't do anything their next possession either. And then, even though all that stuff went against them, the Chiefs get the ball at the end of the game with a chance to go win it, have plenty of time. Andy Reid's trying to milk the clock, make sure they can settle for a field goal. Yes, they're settling for a field goal. There's no need to force it for a touchdown. You've got an outstanding kicker. You got a good long snapper. Can you still try for a touchdown? Sure. Okay. If it's 38-35, Andy may be still trying for the touchdown, not selling for overtime. But you're down one. The field goal wins the game. You are playing to win the game. It's called a field goal. Three. Let me do the math. 36 minus 35 is one. A field goal is worth three. So I go up two, and I can try to milk the clock to where there's no time left, and Baltimore has one timeout left anyway. Of course he was playing to win the game. Don't give me this crap. Like Harbaugh's playing to win the game and Andy isn't. Andy's been in this business for so long. Are you kidding me? Do you think he's really not trying to win the game? He didn't need a touchdown to win the game, people. Do the math. He played to win the game. The problem is he can't hold on to the football. He can't block on left tackle and left guard. Okay? He can't play quarterback and not throw a boneheaded interception. I mean, at some point, you got to put it on your players. Don't blame Andy Reid on this one, people. I'm sorry. Yelling at Andy Reid on this one is ridiculous. Well, keep the ball in Mahomes' hands. So what you're saying is never run the ball and just have Mahomes throw it every time. And I will say, Mahomes was not sacked one time last night. So the offensive line did a good job of protecting him. But at the same time, he also threw a boneheaded pick, so he's not perfect. So what happens if Mahomes throws an interception in that situation? You know what Chiefs Kingdom says? Why didn't you run the ball, Andy? You're being too aggressive. What if the Chiefs run a trick play and it loses 8 yards? Why didn't you just hand it off to Allaire and get the 2 yards or Darrell Williams? This is so easy to do after the fact. If you were saying before that play that Mahomes should throw the ball on every down and they should not run it once, then I'll give you some credibility. At least you were saying it. I guarantee you weren't. I guarantee you weren't, because you knew as well as anybody else. You don't want the Chiefs defense back on the field. With that horrible defense, yeah. You do not want it on the field again. Your best defense is your offense, okay? So if you sit here and you argue to me, well, you got to keep the ball in Mahomes' hands. Okay, then you're telling me that you're wanting to pass the ball on every down and take a chance on a holding penalty is more likely on a passing down to take you out of field goal range. You're saying that you're okay with a possible deflected ball. You're okay with a drop pass that stops the clock. And then when it stops the clock, the Chiefs may eventually kick the field goal. But now the Ravens have 50 seconds to work with to get a field goal of their own. And oh, by the way, they have Justin Tucker, one of the best kickers of all time in National Football League history. I mean, come on, stop it. You're sitting here yelling and screaming at Andy Reid because he did what every other football coach would have done. And honestly, it would have all worked out perfectly had Allaire not fumbled, had there not been a breakdown on the offensive line. It would have worked perfectly. If Harrison Butker goes up and kicks this football and he misses the field goal, you know what Chiefs fans would say? Well, cut Butker. But also, they would say, well, we should have got closer. Why'd we settle for a 40-yard field goal? Why didn't we try for a touchdown? Because you pay guys money to do their job. And Butker's job is to make a 40-yard field goal or whatever it would have been. That's his job. That's what you do, all right? And just yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings had a 37-yard field goal to win it, a straight-on kick, and the guy pushed it right. He missed it. And I'm sure Viking fans are like, why didn't we try for the touchdown? Dude, you know as anybody else, a 37-yarder most of the time is good. The percentages are you kick the field goal. Because if you try to throw it in the end zone and it's picked off, you know what people are going to say in Vikingville? Why didn't we settle for the field goal? Why were we? We were only down one. Don't they know the situation? Coaching is so difficult. But it's even more difficult when your team makes mistakes. The Chiefs beat themselves in the fourth quarter last night. And it's so scary that when we're coming back from Manhattan, the Chiefs are up 11. I tell my oldest son, this game is over unless the Chiefs beat themselves. And I wasn't expecting it, because I said right after that, I go, the Chiefs don't turn it over. So they're probably going to be fine. And then bingo, interception, fumble at the end. But there are so many things that you can point in this game and say how the Chiefs lost. And you can go number one priority, number two priority, number three priority. We'll go through all of that coming up in just a moment. The Chiefs have issues, yes. So do a lot of football teams. All right, there's plenty of time to clean it up. There's plenty of time to figure it out. I'll tell you what the number one issue is on this team coming up in a little bit. And then we will talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit. Not about the fumble per se, but how he's being used. And we will go back to that Mahomes interception, okay? And, oh, yeah, the guy that ended up forcing Mahomes into the interception, the guy that ended up punching the ball loose and then recovering it, will give you the tie to the Chiefs handed that guy to the Baltimore Ravens. The guy that made all the plays for Baltimore is the draft pick the Chiefs gave to the Ravens for Orlando Brown. Is that not irony? And you know why the Ravens drafted this guy from Penn State? Because they said they were lacking some speed against the Chiefs. He was drafted to beat the Chiefs, and he just made two of the biggest plays of his life in the second game of his career. So I'd say that's been a good pick so far. So more on the Chiefs in a little bit. But Chiefs fans, listen, you gotta take a chill pill here, all right? One thing that bugs me about it is they should have won. They'd be 2-0. Chargers come to town. Chargers lost to the Cowboys. And I'm sitting here going, lost opportunity, because the Chiefs could be 3-0 and have a two-game lead over the Chargers. Because I still think the Chargers are the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC West. Now the Raiders, maybe they are. The Broncos are 2-0. Broncos haven't played anybody. Denver can enjoy that. You should. You play whoever's on your schedule. The Broncos have the PUD schedule the first 3 weeks. They won their first two. They got the Jets coming up. That should be an easy win. They'll be 3-0. All right? The Broncos will be 3-0. The Raiders have played definitely more competition. They played the Ravens. They played the Steelers. Now, the Raiders are more legitimate than the Broncos so far, okay? I'm not saying the Broncos aren't going to still, you know, maybe sneak into the playoffs. But the bigger threat is the Raiders or the Chargers. I still think the Chargers are the biggest threat. They have the most talent. I could be wrong. But now you've got a game where if the Chiefs can't beat the Chargers, they're 1-2. And if the Raiders win and the Broncos win, there'll be two games up behind the Broncos. I think the Broncos will come back down to earth once they play the tough part of the schedule. Raiders could be 3-0. The Chiefs, after this Sunday, could be two games out of their own division lead. And it's the first time since 2016 that the Chiefs have not led this division. Can you believe that? It's been almost 5 years since the last time the Chiefs haven't led this division. Yeah. The last time they lost a game in September was week two in 2016. They won 15 straight September games. Mahomes had never thrown a pick in September. Well, that one was huge. Mm-hmm. He's still got 38 touchdowns, one interception in the month of September in his career. That's still pretty good. He's now 11-1 in September. He should be 12-0, and it should be 38-0 because he should have never thrown that pass. But here's the thing. He's human. So is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They made mistakes. You own up to them. You take responsibility as a man, and you move on, and you try to get better. So we'll talk more about the Chiefs coming up in a little bit. But first, I want to give time for local sports. There's a lot of volleyball over the weekend.
Yeah, the Smith Center Lady Red had a great weekend. They won the Republic County Tournament on Saturday, went 5-0 overall. They beat Clifton, Clyde, Pike Valley, and Clay Center in straight sets and blue pool play. They beat Beloit in three in the semifinals, and then beat Clay Center for the second time in straight sets, 19-18 for the championship there. Smith Center is now 11-0 on the season. I also saw on social media where Talon Rentschler became the all-time kill leader for the Lady Red volleyball team. So congratulations to her, and again, Smith Center winning the Republic County Tournament Championship here this weekend. Beloit finished 2-3 on the weekend. They went and got fourth place. 2-1 in pool play. Their loss was to Hanover. They beat Thayer Central in Republic County. As we mentioned, they lost Smith Center in three in the semis and then lost to Hanover in three in the third-place match. So they fought hard there in the semis and finals in third place, but ended up with a couple losses there. They're now 12-5 overall are the Lady Trojans. So, again, that was over the weekend. Again, Pike Valley competing there as well and went 0-3 on their pool. There on Saturday. Also, Tescott Tournament Saturday. El Saline won the championship. Sylvan Lucas finished in third place. They went 3-2. Pool play match wins over Wilson and Tescott. They lost to El Saline. Lost the semis to Bennington, but won the third place match over Lincoln to finish again in third place there on Saturday at Tescott. The full results for both of those volleyball tournaments can be found at ncksports.com. All the latest standing schedules and scores are, again, at the website, ncksports.com.
Five ranked teams at that Belleville tournament in Republic County. Man, yeah, tell you what, that was a good competition. Great tournament win for Smith Center. Hanover's really good. Clay Center's really good. Beloit's really good. Thayer Central's really good. Yeah, that was a tough tournament. That'll make them all better. Later on the season.
Center only lost one set all day.
And that was to Beloit. And Beloit was waxed them in the first set, and then they just woke up and took care of the next two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
tells
the wake-up
how good
call.
They are right now.
That's
sure.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then going back to high school football, week three, just a quick recap. On Friday, I think the big thing that stood out to me was Osborne. You know, Osborne and Thunder Ridge, both winning convincingly, but Osborne over Lakeside, a tough loss for Lakeside. And so we honestly, now you guys sit here and say it's Osborne-Thunder Ridge. Unless Lakeside can knock off Thunder Ridge this Friday, which we'll have on Kitty Country 94, if Thunder Ridge beats Lakeside, then you've definitely got Thunder Ridge and Osborne. That's the class of the district, and those are the two teams that are going to be a head-on collision to play later on the season, which we'll have that one October 8th when they play up in Kensington. So those two have kind of elevated themselves to the top of the district. There are questions after Osborne lost week one, and may have they bounced back against St. John's Tipton Lakeside, just destroying both of them. But I understand there might be another injury Osborne's dealing with, too.
So. Yeah, Connor sure got hurt on Friday night, so I don't know where the complete status is yet with him. But, yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
That'd be a big blow to that team. Mm-hmm. So, Injury is always part of it. So that that really stood out, I think. That was the biggest thing that stood out to me on Friday was Osborne and Thunder Ridge convincing wins to really, really solidify that they're the best two teams in the district, at least right now.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's fluid. It could change. But right now, it's definitely those two teams have distanced themselves and put themselves in the right spot here early on.
Right. All right, we'll turn our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, after every time a team beats the Chiefs, I saw the Chiefs Twitter account put this out there. Every time somebody beats the Chiefs, and it shows the blueprint to beat the Chiefs. I think there's two ways you beat the Chiefs, and there's only two. There's only two ways to beat the Chiefs. Let's see if you can come up with something besides what I got. They might all tie together. There's two ways to beat the Chiefs. One, a consistent pass rush, getting pressure on Mahomes with out blitzing with your front four. And we saw that happen in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. All right. There are times where you can get quite a bit of pressure front four and Mahomes and the Chiefs still find a way. But you're not going to beat the Chiefs. You're not going to beat the Chiefs without putting pressure on Patrick Mahomes unless number two happens. So let me go back. The number one way you beat the Kansas City Chiefs, the only way it really truly works, or at least it has, you have to have this. In order to beat the Chiefs, you have to have a consistent pass rush with your front four without blitzing. Or the second way you beat the Chiefs is that you hope the Chiefs beat themselves. That's the only ways you beat the Chiefs. And I'm saying this even with the defense as abysmal as it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Week one, it wasn't a consistent pass rush, right, by the Browns?
Yeah.
The defense was horrible. I wouldn't even really say the Chiefs beat themselves at that point. It's the Browns just had a perfect game plan through the first half. Then the Chiefs made plays and got a few turnovers. Last night, the Ravens didn't get a lot of pressure on Mahomes. When they blitzed, they got torched. That's why you don't blitz Mahomes. But what do? If you can't get pressure front four, you let him just beat you. I think your best way is just hope Mahomes gets impatient, which he did last night. It worked. So consistent pass rush without blitzing, or if you can't get a consistent pass rush your front four, blitzing doesn't work, then you need the Chiefs to beat themselves. And last night, the Chiefs beat themselves. I'm sorry. That's how I see it. This defense has got major issues. It's the number one reason they lost the game last night. Anybody want to disagree with me on that?
They're not watching and understand football if they want to disagree with that.
And let me back up my statement. The defense is the number one reason why they lost the game last night. Now, you can sit here and say, well, Mahomes threw the interception. You just talked about that. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled the ball. Those two turnovers, I mean, that's on the offense, Wade. Yes, it's a collective team effort. But I'm saying the number one issue with this team right now is not Mahomes throwing interceptions or Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbling the football. The number one issue with this team right now is it can't stop anybody. All right? That's the problem with this football team. Number one problem. So let's look back at this. So if you want to put this on the offense, and granted, the offense did not score a point in the fourth quarter. That is true. They turned the ball over twice, inopportune times. That is true. But let me point this out. The defense last night allowed Baltimore to be on the field for 36 minutes, and the Chiefs' offense was on the field for 24. The Chiefs' offense scored 35 points. Check that, 28, because there was a pick six. 28 points, 400 yards of offense, and had an 11-point lead despite not having the ball a lot of time. The defense last night for the Chiefs, despite getting two interceptions, and they were really gift picks, especially the first one when the receiver fell down. That's an easy 6 points for Tyrann Mathieu. Mathieu didn't do anything. He was just in the right spot. He caught it. He ran it in. I mean, let's not act like he reinvented the wheel on how to return an interception. Okay? The second one was a disguise in coverage, and Lamar made a bad decision. That was, I thought Mathieu kind of baited him into that one. I thought that was the more impressive interception. The Chiefs got two gift interceptions from Lamar Jackson. They were bad throws. One, the first one, maybe not a bad throw, just receiver fell down. Okay, so the defense, get this. The defense gets a pick six, scores a touchdown. The defense forces two turnovers. And the defense still gave up 36 points. 36 points, 481 yards, 251 on the ground, 230 in the air to a guy that supposedly can't throw the football in Lamar Jackson, according to Chiefs fans, right? So Baltimore had the ball for 36 minutes of this football game. The one time, and let me stress this, the one time the Chiefs stopped the Ravens in the second half. One time. Because here's what the Ravens did in the second half. You ready for this? Touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown, ice the game. The Chiefs got one stop the whole second half defensively. One stop. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times that might be enough for this team to win. And had Clyde Edwards-Helaire not fumbled and Butker kicked the field goal at the end of the game, we would be saying, you know, the defense just did enough, just like it did against Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we be saying the same thing?
Like well, the said defense a lot got, of times in 2018, right?
Exactly. Well, defense got two interceptions, one for a touchdown, and they got that three and out. That was huge. And Mahomes got the, you know, Mahomes went down and got a touchdown, 35-24, made it 42-24, and the Chiefs rolled, you know? That's what we were hoping for, right? Okay, so in the second half, Baltimore had the ball five times. Touchdown, punt, and then, of course, that's a chance the Chiefs had to just finish it. And then Mahomes threw the horrible bad interception on 3rd and 12. Then you got it. But here's the thing. Your defense can rally around your offense, right? Because the offense has picked up the defense a lot. Defense has a chance to come right back out and get the ball back. And Baltimore goes right down the field and scores. Then Baltimore gets the ball again, goes right down the field and scores. Okay, and all this talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbling the football. Talk about Mahomes' interception, which are all both fair points. Those are mistakes. Those are turnovers. The Chiefs can't have that. There's no doubt. They have less room for error if their defense can't do much. But despite those turnovers, despite the fourth quarter, the Chiefs not scoring a point, the defense still was on the field with a minute 20 to go with all three timeouts. And on 3rd down and 7, they got what? They stopped them on 2nd down for a short gain, and Lamar ran one. So it's 3rd down and 7. 3rd down and 7. Plenty of time for Mahomes, if you get the ball back, to go get a field goal and win. You still have plenty of time. And this is what's lost in this game last night. Well, Helaire fumbled the ball. It's like the Ravens took a knee. They didn't. That game was not over after he fumbled it. The Chiefs had all three timeouts. So the Ravens have a 3rd and 7. Chiefs get no pressure on Lamar Jackson with their front four, and they didn't all night long. And he completes a 6-yard, 5.5-yard pass. And so now the Ravens, I mean, one of the easiest decisions of all time, you go for it. I mean, the announcers act like it's this big deal because they're not used to seeing it. It's 4th down, 1.5 yards. You're killing the Chiefs with the run all night long. You're averaging 6 yards a carry. You've got a quarterback who's the most dynamic running quarterback in the National Football League. You've got offensive line that had 3 backups control the front four of the Chiefs, and 2 of those guys are making a hell of a lot of money. And were no-shows last night, by the way. And the Chiefs, of course, can't stop them on 4th and 1.5 yards, and the game is over. The Chiefs' offense had the ball for basically 1/3 of the game. The Chiefs could not get off the field. Mm-hmm. This is the same problem we've had with Chiefs football for quite some time with their defense. You got to get off the field. Why did the Chiefs win the Super Bowl a couple years ago? They weren't great defensively, but they're able to get off the field on 3rd down. That's where the big improvement happened with Sutton to Spags the second half of that season when won the Super Bowl. They're able to get off the field on 3rd down. They didn't do that yesterday. Now the Chiefs were not good in 3rd down on offense either. So let me reiterate. The defense isn't the only reason the Chiefs lost last night. It was a collective team effort, okay? The interception of Mahomes is a bad one. The offensive line had a couple breakdowns. I thought, especially on that last play, Helaire fumbled. He's got to hold on to the ball. You know, I get it, okay? I get it. Tommy Townsend wasn't exactly great in punting the football when they did punt it. Special teams I still don't think is outstanding for the Chiefs. So forth and so on. We can go down the line. But the defense is the number one issue here. The number one issue is not Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbling in crunch time. Now, if he does it again this week, now it becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. It's not Mahomes throwing a dumb pick because he usually doesn't throw dumb picks. Now, if he starts doing that next couple weeks in presses, now we've got an issue. But this is a consistent issue with the Chiefs. It's been this way since Bob Sutton. It's been this way with Steve Spagnuolo to an extent. But this year, it's really bad. I mean, the Chiefs, for crying out loud, in the first half last week against Cleveland, gave up 318 yards in the first half. Last night in the first half, they improved. They only gave up 271 yards in the first half. And they were ahead 21-17 despite that. And here's the other reason why the Chiefs' number one issue is defense. They can't stop anybody. Okay, we get that. But when teams get in the red zone, you might as well just go ahead and let them score. Oh, yeah, well, that's what the Chiefs do. My bad. The other team always scores in the red zone. The Chiefs had the worst red zone defense of anybody in the league last year and overcame it and somehow made it to the Super Bowl. It's like 18. The Chiefs got all the way to AFC title game. If not for a coin flip, would have gone to the Super Bowl with one of the worst defenses of all time. Last year, they were able to get to the Super Bowl with a defense that was the worst in the red zone. 77% of the time, teams scored touchdowns in the red zone. Are you kidding me? And last night, Cleveland had scored a touchdown every time they're in red zone. Last night, I think the Ravens did every time. I'd have to double check it. They probably got the field goal for half, and that was because of the time, which I don't think they're even in the red zone on that field goal, if I remember right.
No, they definitely would have been if they had more time.
Sure.
Yeah, that's why they kicked, because they ran out of time. They did what the Chiefs were trying to do at the end of the game.
Exactly.
Set up a field goal to get points before the buzzer sounds, right?
Right.
And that's what they were doing.
Right. So when the other team gets the ball inside the Chiefs 20, it's over. The other team's going to score. And then your best bet is just to hope that, just say, okay, the offense will get it right back. This reminds me of 2018. This football team reminds me of 2018. You got Mahomes having to carry a lot of the weight. Your offensive line in 18 was pretty solid. This year's team unit, I think, is pretty solid. Once again, they didn't give up any sacks. The run game is a concern, although the Chiefs never do fully stress the run game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't a guy that's going to go run 100 yards a game for you. That's not really the MO for the Chiefs anyway. I am a little bit confused, though, when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. All the talk was, and I saw him at LSU, and he's fantastic out of the backfield at LSU. He picks up blockers pretty good in college. He was able to make guys miss. He's very shifty. He's got some speed. He's got toughness. But the other thing is, he's very good catching the ball out of the backfield. The Chiefs don't even hardly throw it to him. So the whole idea, I thought, with where Helaire could be a major weapon for the Chiefs when he was drafted, I wasn't sitting here going, oh, yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to rush for 1,500 yards. My thought was, this is a guy that can run for 750 and catch for 600 to 700 yards. Because now you got another guy you got to deal with coming out of the backfield on a wheel route, a swing pass, a screen pass. They don't put the ball in Helaire's hands very much when it comes to the passing game. And if you're looking for a third option after Kelce and Hill, wouldn't that be one? Now, granted, Pringle did all right last night. Robinson caught a touchdown pass. Pringle had a touchdown pass. You know, Hardman did okay. The other guys did step up. That's true. But there, you do wonder how Clyde Edwards-Helaire is being used. But the defense is the number one issue. And if there's anybody in Chiefs Kingdom that disagrees with that, then I don't think you're watching the same game that everybody else is watching. That's the number one issue. Here's Andy Reid on the problems on defense.
It's a team effort. So when you have the opportunities to tackle, you got to tackle. And I didn't think we did very well with that the first half in particular. Gave up a lot of yards there. So you got guys in position. You got to make the tackle. We got to make the play. And we got to do a better job getting off blocks. I mean, that's what we've got to take care of.
All right, so let's address that for a moment, the defensive issues. Listen, I'm gonna say this till the cows come home. Some people can disagree with me, but you can go back and listen to the tape. This is not the armchair quarterback like last night after Helaire fumbles. Oh, my God, we got it. Why wasn't Mahomes passing the ball? No. You weren't saying that before the play, more than likely. Okay? You were all about, hey, we got this game won. We're going to run it a few times, kick a field goal, and we win. We own Lamar. You're getting ready to put all the own Lamar tweets and memes out there. Okay? But I said it. You said it. You're in agreement with me. I said when Chris Jones was up for his contract, I said the Chiefs shouldn't give him the money. That's what I said. I said Chris Jones is not a guy that I feel has a full-time motor. He's a little bit injury prone from time to time. He can be a dominant player when he wants to be, and that's the key, when he wants to be. And then Frank Clark, he gave a lot of money to him. Granted, he's coming off a hamstring injury. I think he was mentioned once last night.
Yeah, he made one play on that when it was 35-24, right? And they made the stop.
That's where they got the punt, the 3-and-out. Yeah, from Baltimore.
Dirty Dan had two good plays on that drive.
Right.
But Frank Clark made one play.
How many times did Chris Jones' name get mentioned last night?
I don't remember.
Every time I watched Chris Jones when I was watching the game, I never heard Mitch mention Chris Jones once on the radio broadcast, second half. First half, I was watching it at an establishment there in Manhattan, and Chris Jones didn't make a single play.
Yeah, he was getting cleaned
out. He was getting shoved backwards, everything. And this was, and let me go to this again. Baltimore was down three offensive linemen. They had three backup offensive linemen, one who's actually from Wichita, Ben Powers, who used to play at Oklahoma. They had three backup linemen. They had to move one guy to left tackle, who's 37 years old, and they had another guy, young guy, at right tackle. Chris Jones is playing end. Chris Jones, you never heard his name called last night. Now you got to sit here and ask a question. Is Chris Jones fat and happy on the money? Does Chris Jones not have the motor? Those are my two concerns when they were giving them the money. Mm-hmm. I was not convinced that was the right thing to do. And now I think it could prevent them from re-signing Tyrann Mathieu. It has a trickle-down effect in regards to the salary cap and the finances of this team. And I know he was in his prime. I get it. You know, Chiefs won a playoff game the year before they gave him the big extension. Well, he didn't play and they won. Okay? Now he came back and he played, you know, very well in another game. Okay? So, and of course, he made some plays against San Francisco in the Super Bowl. And without him, I don't know if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. I will admit that. And Frank Clark, without him, they probably don't win the Super Bowl. So that's fine. But the Chiefs gave the money to him after the Super Bowl. Okay? So since then, Chris Jones, last year, what was it, 7.5 sacks? They're moving him to D-end. He's supposed to be more of a force on D-end. Now, maybe that will happen. Maybe he's got it. But listen, he did not have gap responsibility last night. He doesn't know how to play defensive end when it comes to the run. And to the run. And that's on the coaching staff, because if you want him to play D-end, you better get that figured out. And if he can't do that, then you got to move him back inside. Because if he's going to leave gaps and not stay home and not have his own, and maybe that's part of it. He was just trying to feel his way around his defensive end against a team that liked to run the football. And here's the problem with Chris Jones, and this is another reason why I didn't think the Chiefs should give him all the money. He's not good against the run, no matter where you put him.
I was just going to say,
he wasn't good against the run
at, or not.
He wasn't good against the run at D tackle. He's not good against the run at D end. He's never good against the run. He's even lighter than he's ever been because he's trying to play D end and get speed off the edge. But if a team runs the football and doesn't have to pass the ball or doesn't get into obvious passing situations, Chris Jones is completely negated, and he's not worth anything. He's worth something, but he's not worth $80 million, okay? Chris Jones is negated when other teams can run the ball. Chris Jones is a liability in a run defense. He just is. It's been that way his whole career. And it's not going to get any better if he's playing D-end, a position he's not really familiar with, knowing the responsibilities of containment. And then secondly, he's not as big as he was playing D-tackle. He lost like 20 pounds.
Yeah.
He did all this yoga. Okay, great. So he's going to be good in third down and obvious passing situations, second down long. But against a team that can run the football, he and Frank Clark are completely negated. We're spending a ton of money on guys that brush the quarterback when they can't do anything against the run. So those two guys were no-shows last night. In my opinion, they were there. Chris Jones was the biggest no-show of them all. You've got to get a pass rush to have any... For crying out loud, I know the Ravens could run the football, but Lamar Jackson had a lot of time to throw most of the night.
Yeah.
Now, part of that might be trying to contain Lamar Jackson. Okay, that might be part of it. We got to stay outside. We're not going to worry about trying to sack him. We're going to try to contain him. I get that, but it's not like they got a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield either.
No, they didn't.
And if you don't get a pass rush, then you got to bring blitzes. And they brought a blitz, and Lamar torched that, just like Mahomes torched the Ravens on the blitz. He torched that on the pass to Brown. So now what do you do? Well, you're in trouble. Because if you can't get any kind of pressure up front and you have a problem stopping the run, then I don't know what you do. You're going to get new players? It's week three coming up. Week two, you just played. You're not going to get a whole bunch of new players. So you got to coach them up. You either got to bench somebody that's not playing well. You got to mix up different combinations, different schemes. You're going to have to coach them up. This is the guys that, you know, Brett Beach went out and shopped for the groceries. He brought in the groceries. This is what you got. And you got to coach them up. So here you go. You've got to figure out a way to make Chris Jones, or Chris Jones has got to step it up. And I feel like Chris Jones takes a lot of plays off. I feel Chris Jones is thinking about, I'm going to save it for the fourth quarter, which it worked against Cleveland. There are times, all of a sudden, they'll show the sideline. He's on the sideline on a passing down. I'm like, what? He's gassed, yeah. And he's on the sideline on an obvious passing down? That defeats the whole purpose of what Chris Jones is about and what you're paying him to do. I am really dumbfounded by Chris Jones, but I'm not surprised. Because when he got that extension, when they were talking about giving him the money, you and I said, that's probably not the best decision. But the Chiefs got caught up in, he's in his prime, and, you know, he's a draft pick of ours, and he could really get better. I don't see him getting better. He's not better against the run at all. So I don't want to put it on Chris Jones, but if the Chiefs' defense doesn't get any pressure on the quarterback, or they can't slow down the run game, you got a major problem. I think that coming into the season, looking on paper, I'm like, Jaron Reed at D-tackle, that's an improvement. Jones at D-end, okay, I'll buy in. He can do some damage on the end. Clark, I'm not worried. I'm not really counting on Clark to do much this year, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Linebackers, hey, Nick Bolton, I think, looked good at times. Okay, those linebackers got to fill. It's not just on the front four to stop the run. The linebackers, which the Chiefs play small, They play the nickel a lot. They'll have Sorensen or Matthew, in essence, being a third linebacker. So they're smaller in those situations. And I think that hurts them as well. That's how Spags plays. And so you got to have Hitchens and Bolton. You got to fill the hole, fill the gap. And so if you got Nnadi and you got Reed, you know, getting double teamed or taking on blocks, then those linebackers got to do the job. They got to wrap up and tackle, as Andy Reid was just talking about. So it's not just on Chris Jones. It's not just on the front four. But I will say this. When Lamar Jackson went to pass last night, he had lots of time. When Baker Mayfield went to pass week one, he had a lot of time until Chris Jones stepped it up and got a sack in the fourth quarter. And this Chiefs defense has a lot of problems. And the secondary, I don't think, is a problem. I don't think the secondary is a problem. If you got to cover for 8 seconds, any secondary is going to struggle against that. The problem for me for the Chiefs is the front six or seven guys. It's really the front six. And then you've got an undersized safety, Sorensen or Matthew, coming up in run support. You don't have a third thumper, okay, linebacker. Spags' system doesn't rely on, like, outstanding linebacking play. I think Bolton's a decent player. Willie Gay coming back, that maybe will help. I don't know if I'm convinced of that. But you look at the numbers last night with this team, and it's mind-boggling. They gave up 7 yards a play, 6.5 yards per carry. And you could say and go, well, Lamar Jackson. Well, guess what? Last week, they couldn't. Nick Chubb ran all over him.
Yeah, Chubb and Hunt.
And Hunt. Yeah, and Baker isn't a running quarterback. It's not because of Lamar Jackson. So that's where it starts for me, man. I don't know about you.
100%. I mean, we were talking about it in our group thing that we have on Twitter last night, and it's like everybody's – because somebody – some bonehead that I'm not going to mention his name said Clyde is a backup, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, he's a backup in this league. Okay, the guy has had 247 touches in the league now, and he had his first fumble that he lost last night.
Yeah, first fumble.
But he's a backup now because he made one mistake where a guy punched the ball out of his hand.
And don't put it on the offensive lineman who didn't do their job on that play either.
And if you want to look at Clyde's numbers, I'm like, well, he played 13 games last year. He did have a little bit of an injury issue at one point last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he had 1,100 yards in 13 games last year. It's like,
not bad.
And he's at best, on his best night, the third option for the Chiefs offense.
Yes.
And he's not even that, hardly ever.
I agree.
And he had 1,100 yards.
Yes.
In 13 games last year.
Yes.
I mean, what do you want? I mean, and again, 247 touches with one fumble now in the league that he's lost.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to talk about that. Patrick Mahomes knows what he did was wrong. We all know that that was not a good decision.
Sure.
But I said in the group, I'm like, we are not talking about any of this if the other team can stop the other team from running the ball 6 yards a carry.
Yes.
And on the year, like 7 yards a carry.
Right.
Like, this is not rocket science. You cannot allow teams to run the football like that on you in the NFL.
No.
Because now what it's doing is softening up the defense – the pass defense, too.
Right.
Because if they're having that much success,
you got to bring extra people into the box.
Safeties are crashing into the box. Why do you think there's miscommunication on a jump pass that Lamar Jackson threw really, really short?
Mm-hmm.
That Hollywood Brown is literally standing there, turned his back to the other end.
Yes.
Just standing there to catch the ball, mm-hmm, with nobody 15 to 20 yards around him.
Right.
Because they know they have to stop the run. And if you have one breakdown in that defensive backfield, it's game over on that play.
Right.
You're not going to have any success. So, I mean, people can say and point to that, and it's like, well, the pass defense gave up plays too. Yeah, because the run defense is horrid, that the defensive backs have to come up and run help. And that's a major issue. Chris Jones is not a defensive end.
No.
I'm going to put that out there right now. If he's not putting effort into getting to the quarterback and being able to do that from the end, he's useless from that spot.
I agree.
He was not useless as a defensive tackle because
sometimes they double team him.
I think the biggest issue with Chris Jones might be that he lost 20 pounds.
Could be.
And that they've moved him to a different spot. How many times in his first few years did this guy just bull rush,
mm-hmm,
did not get a sack, mm-hmm, but bull rushed the lineman into the quarterback to have to move or do something that he was not comfortable with?
I agree.
And when you take that kind of domination out of that front line,
mm-hmm,
you don't have that same push. You talk about getting pushed with the front four and getting to Jackson. It's a different dynamic now with this team. They've kind of switched up what they're doing defensively too. But I don't think the man's a defensive end. And
Not yet.
He's not a run stopper and never has been. So
it never will be.
Those are the things. Like, you're going to push this guy out even further, mm-hmm. and he's lost 20 pounds. He's not the same physical specimen that he was from that aspect. I'm sure he's more in shape, probably can last longer into a game. I get that. But I don't think that's his position. And it's only been two games. I might be overreacting to that part of it. But I don't see it right now.
Well, through two games, I don't think you see it. To back up your comment about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if people think that he's a backup running back, do backup running backs run 4.4 yards a carry and run for 800 yards in 13 games last year? See, these people that want to rip a guy for fumbling ball don't take the time to actually do any research. I mean, think about that for a second. His first year in the National Football League, straight out of college, he averaged 4.4 yards a carry, ran for 800 yards, and then got hurt in week 13 or 14, or he would have got 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah.
On a team that doesn't focus on running the ball.
That's the thing.
It's like, what do you want from the guy?
It's like when Andrew Wiggins was playing at KU, yes, right? Yeah. They wanted him to average 30 to 40
They wanted him to be
game.
LeBron like, James
they,
Jr.
And I'm like, you understand there's only one ball, and there's blue-chip athletes at every
right,
spot.
Right.
There's only one football, and he's the third best option on his best night.
That's right.
And he's still running for 800 and 1,100 yards from scrimmage in 13 games. Okay,
yeah.
This is not – yeah, if he's playing for the Jaguars or somebody or some team that has right. to give him the ball,
right.
maybe I'd be disappointed with those numbers, but I'm not disappointed with 4.4 to carry 1,100 yards in 13 games. And –
that's almost 100 yards a game in total offense, all right?
Yeah.
80, about 90.
Yeah.
Well, that's good enough. I mean, if he gets 60 yards if he gets 60 yards rushing a game on 15 carries, that's 4 yards a carry, and he goes out and gets 40 yards receiving on 4 catches, that's 100 yards of offense.
Yeah.
You take that out of running back. How is that a backup running back?
I mean,
what do you get? You think he's Derrick Henry? He's not Derrick Henry.
No. And
okay?
He doesn't have to be.
He doesn't have
that's
to be.
That's not what this team is.
No.
Like,
exactly. Understand
what this team is.
Yes,
I had people tell me last night, DeAndre Swift was there. And I'm like,
they're the
same running back, but Swift is worse right now.
No.
He plays for the Lions. He'd be better with the Chiefs.
No, dude.
They were getting
Stop
a back
it.
That they felt
Stop
might
it.
Be kind of familiar
Stop
to Kareem
it.
Hunt, right? That could do
yes.
the same things
right.
that Kareem Hunt did. Somebody else one of my friends said, Kareem wouldn't have fumbled there. And I'm like, well, Kareem was kicking women, so he's not on the
right.
team anymore.
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
are you going to do? I don't care about Kareem anymore.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. They were trying to find somebody like a Kareem Hunt to put in this offense.
Right.
And he's shown that ability sometimes.
Listen, if Kareem Hunt is here right now, it changes all the decisions you make because you had to give him a long-term deal if he's still on this team because if he kept performing like he was. So everything would be different. You probably wouldn't have the draft pick that you had. You wouldn't have used it on Helaire. But also, you might not have. Maybe you wouldn't have had the money to re-sign Chris Jones. That would have been a good thing. Maybe you wouldn't have done this or that or whatever else and then upset somebody because you didn't give Kelsey his money or Hill his money. I mean, you can always go
it's
back.
It's just amazing to me that people are putting this on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
They did not watch the game and see how terrible the defense was and has been through both games.
The Chiefs, oh my goodness, dude, it just... Yeah,
and that's the only reason I bring those things up because they're not actual talking points to go in depth on, but they're points of like, this is not why the Chiefs lost.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not Andy Reid giving the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's not Helaire fumbling the ball that lost that game last night. Like I said, after he fumbled the defense, here's a thought, stop him twice out of six tries.
Yeah.
Stop him 33% of the time. They still didn't stop him on 3rd and 7. I mean, people keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it was the very last play of the game and Helaire fumbles. Well, that was it. That cost us the game. Well, technically it did because you didn't get a chance to kick a field goal. But you should have never been in that situation. I mean, for crying out loud. But anyway, so let's go to the mistakes. You know, Andy talks about the mistakes. Obviously, the turnovers. Yes, those hurt you, no doubt.
Listen, turnovers, they kill you in this league. And we had two of them down the stretch, crucial time. So... we've got to do better. We learned from that. We've got to tackle better on the defensive side, and we'll work on that and get better at that. So, guys played hard. They just the other group took advantage of the turnovers.
There were some tough situations on offense. I'll go back to this again. You know, the Ravens to me didn't really fully stop the Chiefs. When I look at the Chiefs and when they were stopped on offense, first of all, a snap over the head of Mahomes cost one drive. All right. Another was a penalty that cost them a drive. I mean, I say this again. The best way to beat the Chiefs is hope the Chiefs beat themselves on offense. That's the only way you stop them. And last night, the Ravens didn't stop the Chiefs on offense except for Mahomes making a boneheaded play, Hilaire fumbling, and Creed Humphrey snapping one over the head of Mahomes, and then they had like it ended up having like a third and 25. Mm-hmm. Okay,
it just, it's like third and 39.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It would end up being a fourth and 28. Yeah. Right. So those are self-inflicted wounds that you have. Those are the mistakes you made. I mean, you could argue the two turnovers were forced. Okay, but what about those tough situations for the offense? Because there are a few times they're forced in a third and long.
We put ourselves in some long yardage, third downs there, you know, that second half. And can't do that, not against that team. So they got to be workable, and you're looking at 12, you know, plus yards. And that's a problem against guys that can rush pass or something. You know, but again, you got to take care of first, second down, and against a good football team. You got to play better football against a good football team. That's what you have to do.
Listen, I guess I'm sitting here I'm stuttering because I don't know what Andy Reid's supposed to do differently in that game last night. What major clock mismanagement thing did he do this time? I can't think of one.
We have not talked about that for a while, knock on wood, for
right.
The clock management part of it.
No.
Because he was doing what he was supposed to do last night for clock management,
right.
Which is use it all.
And then they're mad because the Chiefs fans are mad because he hands the ball off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he planned on him fumbling. So here's Mahomes on his interception. He describes it. This is the thing. You know, of all the things that people love about Mahomes, this is the one thing I love about him the most. He's a man, and he takes responsibility for his actions. He needs to run for political office.
Yeah, I should have just thrown it to D-Rob in the flat. I saw D-Rob in the flat, and then I saw Trev come back to me. The dude grabbed my leg. I thought I could kind of get my other leg down. He kind of spun me, and it's a dumb interception. I mean, it's probably one of the worst interceptions I've probably ever had. And the interception was not only dumb in the sense that it was a bad throw, not even close to the receiver, but it was dumb at that point in the game. Even if I just throw the flat and he doesn't get the first down, we have a chance to decide if we're going to try to kick a field goal or punt and kind of pin him back. So, I mean, it's just a lot of little things in games like this that they kind of form you to get losses in the end.
So everybody focuses on the fumble by Hilaire as the biggest turnover of the game. I still believe that the biggest play of the game was that interception. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't turn it over on that drive, I'm convinced the Chiefs score points and the Chiefs win the game. I think if he doesn't throw the pick there, the Chiefs win the game. I am convinced of that. If they go down and score a touchdown, the game's over.
Absolutely.
If they get a field goal, it's still a two-possession game. I still feel pretty good about things. Here's Mahomes on the Ravens' looks. They didn't blitz in the first half. They did in the second, and he torched them.
They put a lot of shell. They kind of played over the top of Tyree pretty much the entire game. They chose their times to kind of double 87 a little bit. But, if you look at a positive, I thought the other guys stepped up and made plays. I feel like teams are going to start doing this. You saw Pringle with a big play. You saw McColl make a lot of tough catches. D-Rob with a big touchdown play. So those guys are going to have to contribute for us this year. And so to have them have games in a caliber team that we played today, we can take that as a positive going into the next week.
Listen, I didn't think the Ravens' defense was anything special at all last night. I see the story on CBS Sports that they held the Chiefs to 35. I'm like, the Chiefs only had the ball for 24 minutes, but let's ignore that fact. If the Chiefs had the ball for as long as the Ravens had, they would have had a lot more points than what the Ravens scored. The Chiefs would have scored well over 50. But when I look at this with the Chiefs, the Ravens defensively didn't do anything special. Other than they took a page out of the New England Patriot playbook defensively. And that is, we're going to take away one of your weapons. And they took away Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. And they said, basically, we're going to make everybody else beat us. We'll give Kelsey his stuff, fine. But we're not going to let Tyreek Hill beat us. Tyreek Hill last night, didn't hear him much either. 3 catches for 14 yards. He had a carry for like 15. And so the Chiefs didn't force it to him, to their credit. It is scary that you can take away that big of a weapon that easily, because there have been other games where that's happened. But it does allow other guys to step up and make plays, so that's good. But it's just like if you're playing basketball and you're playing a team that has one absolutely great scorer, another guy that's pretty decent, and then role players, you're probably going to take away that top scorer, right? You're going to try to take him away. And if you take him away and the other team beats you by making threes or other guys have career nights, you can live with that. So that's the one really good thing that the Ravens did last night, is they took away Tyreek Hill. And there's been a few times where I feel like Tyreek Hill's been taken away a little bit too easily. There's where I will point to Andy Reid. I'm like, do we got to come up with a little bit more creativity to get him the ball? Should we, instead of just one little end-around play, a lot of times you use him as a decoy. You know, we talk about putting the ball in the hands of your best players. Hill didn't get the ball hardly at all last night. Now, would that be forcing the issue if you did that? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's just something I'm throwing out there. I'm not being critical, Andy Reid, on that. I'm just wondering out loud. When Tyreek Hill is being bracketed and then they're over, under and over, and he's more of a decoy, okay, fine, but is there another way for him to somehow get the ball to where he can make at least one gigantic play in the game? And maybe that was that little end around that he ran. He got 15. That was a good play. But it is sometimes a little bit frustrating for me to see Tyreek Hill taken away so easily sometimes.
Yeah. If there becomes an issue with, like, D-Rob and Pringle and McColl dropping the ball or something like that, then I think you do need to start thinking about that. But I think it's just, you know, he's got such an embarrassment of riches here that he just does what the defense is giving him, right?
Yeah, which is okay.
When you've got Travis Kelce,
I
mean, you can't take both Hill and Kelce out of the game. I mean,
no, you got to pick your poison.
Then you really have guys wide open.
Yeah, right. Speaking of guys, one of the stars, Travis Kelce, who became the fastest fastest to 8,000 yards as a tight end receiving in 113 games, 109 yards receiving, the 46-yard catch and then run after the catch for a touchdown. Here's Kelce on everybody needs to be accountable.
We just got to man up and fix the problems, fix the issues. Turnovers are big. I mean, on the offensive side, just accountability, making sure you're making the blocks and then setting up the guys to, you know, do their job. And that's the biggest thing, is just making sure that we're playing four quarters of football and not letting up at any point in the game.
All right, so at the end of the game, you have fourth and about a yard and a half. It's a no-brainer. You go for it. You're dominating the line of scrimmage. Chiefs knew they were going to go for it. We all knew the Ravens were going to go for it. Here's Lamar on that final play.
You want to go for it? I'm like, hell yeah. Again, I said it again. Like Seattle 2 years ago. And he told me to play. I'm like, we should spread them out. And Coach James Urban, my QB coach, he like, you got to go. I'm like, man, I got to get this first down no matter what. I got to jump, dive through a defender. And O-line did a great job pushing those guys back. Got the first down for the victory.
Lamar Jackson said last year after the Chiefs whipped him, he said the Chiefs is my, they're my kryptonite. So he finally was able to get a win against the Chiefs.
It feel good to get that monk out fire back. It just feel good, you know. Got to move on to Detroit now. You know, we ain't win the Super Bowl yet. It's just one game. We just got to keep staying focused.
And Coach Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, no doubt they were going to go for it on fourth and short.
No, there wasn't, but I wanted to be sure myself, you know. I knew he was going to say yes, so, but we were going for it at that point. I have complete confidence in Lamar Jackson to make every play, you know, and I wish I'd have put him in better position last week, you know, to make a play. So those things, I'll just never, ever not have faith in him to make a play in any situation.
So the Chiefs lose last night, 36-35. Some of the numbers, so we mentioned Hill was held to 3 catches, 14 yards. The defense gave up almost 500 yards, even though they got 2 turnovers. Like, usually that'll help keep the yardage down when you get, like, turnovers, and that didn't even keep it down. Imagine if they don't pick off the pass on the first drive. The Ravens would have had 550 yards of offense easily. Mahomes, 24-31 for 343, 3 touchdowns, an interception, his first interception ever in the month of September in NFL football. It was a costly one. And I said Kelce, the fastest 8,000 yards as a tight end, and the Chiefs lose. And it is ironic that the guy that made the two biggest defensive plays was the guy that the Ravens drafted with the pick that the Chiefs sent to the Ravens for Orlando Brown. And it was Adafe Owe. Remember his name? He didn't have any sacks last year at Penn State. Did you know that? But he got drafted because they liked his size and quickness at 6'5". And he was the one that was wrestling Mahomes to the ground when he decided to throw the errant pass. And he was also the guy that punched the ball out and recovered it against Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the end. So big picture, Chiefs are 1-1. Chargers come to town on Sunday. Big game in the AFC West early in the season. Chiefs win that game. Everything's going to feel a lot better. And the narrative last night would have been a lot different. Obviously, if Helaire doesn't fumble the ball and we assume Butker makes a field goal, the narrative today will be the Ravens are still owned by the Chiefs and Lamar made too many mistakes and Mahomes is Lamar's daddy, and the Chiefs, despite the defense having problems, the Chiefs are just so good at finding a way to win. Instead, the narrative is Lamar kept him in it, did all this great stuff, and he's coming of age, and the Ravens' defense did a great job holding the Chiefs to 35 points and 400 yards and 24 minutes of time of possession, and so forth and so on. It is interesting how the narrative can change because of one play, and that was a fumble by Helaire was the play that changed everything because the Chiefs were going to win the game unless Becker was going to miss the next field goal. they were going to be 2-0 unless they were going to miss the field goal. Or maybe it would have been blocked. We'll never know. Never know.
So, we know what we saw, and that's how it ended.
It's ironic how the guy that the draft pick the Chiefs gave to the Ravens for Orlando Brown is the guy that made the two biggest plays in his second career game. It is ironic, don't you think?
Yes.
Alanis Morissette, you know that one. All right, I'll go let you go over there real quick. We'll go through the rest of the National Football League. There were a lot of really awesome games yesterday. This was not one of them. The Patriots beat the Jets 25-6. Zach Wilson, the rookie quarterback, threw 4 interceptions. Broncos beat the Jaguars 23-13. Trevor Lawrence still trying to get his feet wet in the NFL. Did not look good yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater played very well, threw for 328 yards. Broncos are 2-0. Like we said, haven't played anybody yet. Won't play anybody this week either with the Jets, but you only play who's on your schedule, and that could give them confidence going down the line into the middle part of their season when the schedule gets tougher. The Bills shut out the Dolphins 35-0. Tua is out with a rib injury. He had to leave the game. Bills roll. 49ers are 2-0. They outlast the Eagles 17-11. San Francisco's made the Super Bowl in each of the last two seasons in which they started 2-0. They're my pick to win the NFC West. The Rams beat the Colts 27-24. The Rams are 2-0 for the fourth straight season. The Raiders are 2-0. Derek Carr threw for over 350 yards as the Raiders beat the Steelers 26-17. The Bears beat the Bengals 20-17 as Joe Burrow threw 3 interceptions for the Bengals. Browns beat the Texans 31-21. Panthers over the Saints 26-7. And then the great games later in the day. Cardinals win 34-33. Vikings miss a 37-yard field goal at the end of the game that would have won it. The Seahawks were up 24-9. Titans come all the way back, force overtime, and win in overtime. Derrick Henry, 237 scrimmage yards, 3 touchdowns, 41 touches. He was unstoppable. The Cowboys hit a 56-yard field goal at the buzzer to beat the Chargers 20-17. That was a fun game, back and forth between two very good football teams, at least so far early part of the season. Cowboys found a way to win despite missing a lot of key defensive players. Dak Prescott played well again. Justin Herbert, I thought, was off at times yesterday, and the Chargers did not cash in when they're in the red zone. So the Cowboys win, and that helped the Chiefs because the Chargers are 1-1. And, of course, the Ravens and Chiefs game was super exciting last night, as we know. And the Buccaneers-Falcons was a good game until Matt Ryan started to throw a couple pick sixes, and the Buccaneers win. Tom Brady threw 5 touchdown passes in the game, 48-25. The Buccaneers are 2-0. Monday Night Football tonight, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers try to bounce back. They host the Lions. Both teams are 0-1. Turning our attention to college football, where Kansas State, very impressive, in a win over Nevada.
Cartier right into the game. He's going to be a decoy here for Will Howard, and he is in. Touchdown. Howard over the right side, in for 6. Cartier right flanks Howard. It will be Howard looking for number 2, and he is in. Kansas State with an exclamation point.
Will Howard starting in place of injured Skylar Thompson, threw a 68-yard touchdown pass on the Wildcats' second play from scrimmage. He also rushed for those 2 touchdowns you just heard in the fourth quarter that broke open a 17-17 tie. Chris Kleiman on the touchdown on the second play from scrimmage.
Huge lift, and we had a play design. Will changed the route with Daniel at the line of scrimmage, and that was next level communication by a kid that is settling in and sees the field really well. And he was supposed to run an out-breaking cut, and he changed it to an in-breaking cut because he thought the safety was overplaying it, and he was. And so Daniel set him up to the outside, beat him back across his face. It was Will Howard that made the check, Daniel that picked it up, made the completion. And then, you know, he can really run. And he fought off 2 guys and ended up scoring. Huge play to start the game in a game that we need explosive plays, and to get one in right off the bat was huge.
And in K-State dominated the fourth quarter, of course, running the football, and Kleiman talked about that dominant fourth where K-State was able to pull away and win by 21.
We played some really good defense at times in the fourth quarter. They were going to move the football. We just had to stop them on some third and fourth downs. And then they made a great adjustment in the second half in how they ran their blitz. They were blitzing the dog out of us trying to stop the run. And we had success in the first half, and then they made an adjustment in the third quarter and really did a nice job. And then we countered that, and I thought made a great adjustment. Coach Riley, Coach Mess, and the offensive staff to shore that up and to get it blocked again. And then it was just keep handing the thing off because we knew we could cut them off. And then the guys just started playing with some confidence, and I thought we started to wear them down.
And they did. Here's Will Howard on the fourth quarter dominance.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, I feel like it's O-line, running backs. We were pounding the ball. I mean, you know, when, I don't know how many times I threw the ball, but it probably wasn't a lot. We were just, I mean, and our defense did a great job. Stopped them that last drive. We got the ball at, what, the 20-yard line or something. And field position, our defense played a heck of a game, shut down a really good quarterback and a really good offense. And, you know, it's easy when you're dominating the line of scrimmage like that. Man, we just took over that game, and it was really, really fun, really fun.
Deuce Vaughn, 23 carries, 127 yards, a touchdown. He became the first K-State player since Darren Sproles in 2003 to reach 5 consecutive games with at least 100 rushing yards. Now has over 1,000 in his young career at Kansas State University. But to me, the story of this game, yeah, control line of scrimmage, dominated fourth quarter. That's all well and good. Great. Will Howard, you know, did enough in this game. They didn't put it all on him. Jared Lewis got to play some too, so it wasn't all the pressure on Will Howard. The plan was to rotate quarterbacks throughout the week. So I thought that was probably a good move by Coach Klieman. You know, Deuce Vaughn is awesome. We know that. Kind of like we talk about the Chiefs, you just take Patrick Mahomes for granted. You take Deuce Vaughn for granted how good he is. But the question I had coming in this game, and this is, and now I'm going to have to, you know, eat some crow. I picked Nevada to win this game because I still had some reservations about the K-State defense. I just wasn't sure if the K-State defense could deal with the Nevada's offensive attack and going up against a really good quarterback. And I didn't know how good Stanford was in week one because but you look at what Stanford's done since week one when K-State held them to 7 points. They've scored 42 and 41 points. So either the defense of Stanford's playing aren't very good or Stanford's getting a lot better offensively. Maybe if K-State played Stanford now, Stanford would score 40 on them. I don't know. I doubt it. But the point I'm trying to make is the K-State defense, to me, proved it was legit. Now, we'll see what happens. We're going to Big 12 play. Oklahoma State's not an offensive juggernaut like they once were.
No.
They're 3-0. Somehow they're a 9-point favorite, which I find that interesting. Going to Stillwater, probably because of the, you know, Skylar Thompson being out. It's a big portion of that. They haven't been very impressive at all in their wins. K-State's got the more impressive wins. Stanford on a neutral site. And then, of course, whipping Nevada in the fourth quarter on Saturday. But to me, the story is their defense. Their defense held Nevada to 17 points. You've got a guy that's considered by many to be one of the best quarterback prospects for next year's NFL draft. They frustrated him. He didn't go nuts against them. And they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, K-State's defense has improved so much from last year, it's just hard to believe how much it's improved.
It really is hard to believe how good they have been here without – if you hadn't actually seen it in person and watched it. But I'm going to tell you right now, man, Carson Strong dropped some dimes. Like, he's an NFL quarterback.
He's a legitimate
There's
prospect.
No question about that. Okay, he was putting them in tight windows that you just don't see a lot of college quarterbacks doing the way he was doing it. So, you know, they held him to 17. That was outstanding for what he's able to do, right?
Right.
You know, 17 back in the day might have been a little bit higher number than some defenses at K-State would have wanted, to be completely honest with you. But in today's game of football, to hold him to 17 and you know, they got the pick where he kind of made a little bit of a mistake there. But he's the real deal. But this K-State defense, I feel like right now is the real deal too. I mean, they've been flying to the football at times. They seem to be in good spots most of the time.
Yeah.
The Tom Hayes defenses, you couldn't say that about there toward the end of that of his tenure. And so they really are. I think offensively, defensively, whatever they're doing, it's a team that's working together as a unit. And it has been a while since we've seen K-State teams that are like that, that make sure that they trust what the other guy's doing, right?
Right.
Wyatt Hubert never trusted anybody. Like, it didn't seem like. Like, he was just always out to make the play and take care of it. But these guys, I feel like, are trusting each other. And you can see that in the post-game press conferences when you're talking to them, too, or hear that, I guess. But it's different dynamic, and that offensive line has just been outstanding as well. So they can keep it healthy. Revis got hurt there toward the end of the game and came back in. So if they can stay healthy, that's an offensive line that's obviously really good, and the running backs and quarterback know how to use it.
You look at the Big 12 right now, Oklahoma's not playing very good football right now. And they're the favorite. Texas is nothing special. Honestly, K-State, it can be right there towards the top of the Big 12. Their defense is playing like it's been. You can control the line of scrimmage. That's huge. Now, I don't know if they can beat Oklahoma, Will Howard at quarterback or not.
Yeah.
We'll find out in a few weeks. But Oklahoma's got some issues that they got to work out as well. So, you know, you go down Stillwater, you win with a backup quarterback at Stillwater, and then you'd be 4-0. By the way, K-State's ranked 25th in the new rankings. They'll move up if they can beat Oklahoma State on the road. It's on ESPN Plus, so it's going to be a battle of two ranked teams in the Big 12 on ESPN Plus. Imagine if the SEC had two ranked teams on something like that. There would be, you know, hell to pay, wouldn't there? But anyway, K-State, they win 38-17. They're 3-0, looking really good, especially on defense. And when your quarterbacks don't make mistakes and made some good plays, you don't have to make tons of them, as we've talked about. When you can run the ball effectively, that makes it a lot easier on your quarterbacks, no matter who they are. KU loses 45-7 to Baylor. This one a little bit misleading. It was 14-7 halftime. KU was right there. But then Baylor took off in the second half. Lance Leipold, first-year head coach for KU. His team loses by 38. Second half got away from him. He talks about the defense.
I don't know our total missed tackles. I think just movement and getting people near the line of scrimmage enough, it just seemed like a lot of contacts taking place 5-7 yards downfield. Missed tackles, leverage issues. Not playing aggressively. I just still think we're so tentative when we blitz and do things. I don't know if it's a confidence issue, if it's an experience issue, if it's a strength issue, or where we're at. That needs to be continued to be evaluated.
So what's the big picture takeaway after the loss to Baylor in the conference opener?
I'm highly disappointed. In some ways, it can be revealing in some areas, and others are just where are we as far as experience and confidence, where those lie along with execution, and then when things can get away from us, how quickly they can, and understanding that we have a lot of work to do in a lot of different ways. And that's, we'll continue to evaluate everything that we do in the program, and that's probably my biggest takeaways today.
KU will have a non-conference game this weekend at Duke, 2:30 pregame, kickoff at 3 on Z96.3 at the Lake. We were talking about Oklahoma and Nebraska on Friday, and we both thought that Nebraska would cover the spread. Did they? They ended up losing by 7. Now, to me, this game is pretty simple from the standpoint that Nebraska had the momentum. There it is, 14-9. They set up to kick an extra point. It gets blocked, returned for 2. Now it's 16-9. Nebraska kicks off. Oklahoma scores a touchdown. It's 23-9. Nebraska came back, scored a touchdown, and then had the ball late, but waiting in their own territory and lost by 7. And so I guess it's interesting, if you're a Nebraska fan, how do you look at this? Like, do you look at it as a missed opportunity, or do you take it as a moral victory? You win in the Norman, and you push the Sooners, and you lose by 7. Let's hear from Scott Frost, the quarterback, he was the quarterback. He's the head coach in Nebraska, Scott Frost, about his team's effort.
First thing I got to do is congratulate Oklahoma. That's a fine football team with some really good coaches and a bunch of talent. I'm so proud of our players and how they fought and competed with that type of team on the road. I told them after the game, everything they want to accomplish this year is right in front of them. We're going to get more opportunities to win a big game. But if they play like that, like we played today all year and fight that hard all year, we're going to have a chance in a lot of games. And as disappointed as I am, I'm happy for the way that they competed.
What about Lincoln Riley's perspective after his team escaped with the win?
And quarterback played really well, was pretty efficient. Got us on a couple of big plays where our eyes weren't very good. And it was just a hard-fought game. You knew it would be coming into this. That's a lot of pride in these two programs. Both these programs have won a lot of games, a lot of championships. And to bring this game back, I think everybody sensed how special it would be. And I think both teams rose to the occasion and gave us a great college football game. So I'm proud of our team for finding a way to win.
Listen, this is what we said on Friday. If the good Adrian Martinez shows up, Nebraska has a chance. And it was pretty good. 19 of 25 for 289 and a touchdown. An interception was one of the greatest interceptions you'll ever see, which he should have dropped it.
I'm going to be the fun hater and say.
He should have dropped it.
He should have knocked it down.
It's fourth down and 18.
Yeah.
And Lincoln Riley said he even thought about challenging his own team's interception because they would have gained 16. It would have been instead of the 8, it would have been at the 24.
Yeah.
So he had to be conservative play calling the next two runs,
right,
and
back,
then they gave it right back. And then Nebraska scored a touchdown. They cut it to 7. So that was kind of interesting. But Martinez played well. Nebraska is just such an enigma. They're such an enigma. Like, every single one of their offensive linemen had a false start in this game. Every single one.
Mm-hmm.
They had an extra point blocked and returned for 2 points. They had some silly penalties again. And I'm just sitting there and I'm looking at Nebraska and I'm like, this is what Nebraska does. Nebraska's running backs only gained 61 yards on 21 carries. Martinez was sacked five times.
Yeah, there's an issue there for sure.
Oh, yeah. And Martinez was sacked five times, but yet they still had a chance. They only lost by seven. But Nebraska always seems to do something in a game that they have a chance to win, even if they maybe shouldn't based on the predictions. Mm-hmm. But this is what they do. Like, we were watching this while eating lunch. We stopped by Bubba Q's to eat lunch. Me and my family, my parents were in town. So they had the game all on TV. We're watching, and Nebraska scores. It's like, well, here we go. And then I turn, and I see Oklahoma returning the extra point for 2 points, and I just turned to my family, and I said, this is what Nebraska does. Just when you think you're in the game, you do something dumb. Now, it wasn't dumb. I mean, they just had a breakdown, and the guy blocked the extra point and was returned for two, but that's just what Nebraska does. They're good enough to be right there, but they're not good enough to win those type of games. Now, Scott Frost says we're going to get more opportunities to win big games, and he's right. And we're going to be and we're going to put ourselves in situations to have a chance to win those games. He's probably right. The question I have is, will you ever do that?
Can you finish? Yeah.
Because they don't finish. I mean, Oklahoma was ripe for the picking in this game.
Absolutely, they were.
Absolutely, Honestly, Nebraska made so many mistakes and still had a chance to win this game.
Yeah. Somebody asked Frost, and it was a shortcut, so I didn't get it because. But they're like, did he consider going for two there? And he's like, I did to cut it to three, but that's too early to be chasing points.
Yeah, I agree
with that. So he's like, then you can have issues coming up later. But that's, I mean, again, that's something that doesn't, it's like the Edwards-Helaire fumble, right? It's like something that doesn't happen a lot, right?
Yeah.
And it's not something you're, in your mind, are prepared for to happen.
Yeah.
And then getting second guessed afterward. Okay, that's not something that you're really normally going to second guess lining up to kick an extra point in the third quarter, right?
Right.
And so it could be 14 to 10, and it's 16 to 9 because this thing happens. And now it's like, you're exactly right. It's like, oh, yeah, that's Nebraska football right now. It's just anything that can go wrong in a critical situation seems to.
I like the last part of the Stephen Sippel article in the Lincoln Journal Star. He covers the Huskers. And he says, nobody can question Nebraska's fight. And yes, we've seen tangible progress since an awful season opening performance at Illinois. But can Nebraska stop getting in its own way? We'll keep asking, perhaps again as soon as next week. They play Michigan State. Opportunity to get a big win. And they'll probably find a way not to get it done.
Yeah.
Until, like you always say, I'll believe it when I see it. I haven't seen it yet. I agree with Scott Frost. They're going to be in position to win a few of those. But will they finish it? So Oklahoma wins 23-16. Other Big 12 scores, West Virginia over Virginia Tech, 27-21. Good win for West Virginia. Texas Tech rolled Florida International, 54-21. Texas wins over Rice, 58-zip. Oklahoma State escaped with a win over Boise State, 21-20. And Iowa State took care of UNLV, 48-3. This week, Big 12 action. SMU at TCU. Texas Tech is at Texas. Iowa State at Baylor. KU at Duke and a non-con at 3 o'clock. K-State at Oklahoma State at 6 o'clock. And West Virginia's at Oklahoma at 6:30 coming up on Saturday evening. College football top 25. Cincinnati struggled but wins number 8 over Indiana, 38-24. It was also, I said Michigan State beat Miami. That was my pick last week. I remember saying that. You know why? Because Miami's not that good. And Michigan State beat them by 21, 38-17. Coastal Carolina edged Buffalo, 28-25. That's a team Nebraska beat. Michigan all over Northern Illinois, 63-10. Notre Dame gets by Purdue, 27-13. Number 7, Texas A&M beat New Mexico, 34-zip. Alabama gave up a lot of rushing yards against Florida. Florida had a chance to tie with a 2-point conversion. Alabama wins 31-29. Didn't run the ball well either, Alabama. Interesting.
Yeah.
Ohio State struggled but got by Tulsa 41-20. Clemson does not look good at all on offense. They win 14-8 over Georgia Tech. Iowa beat Kent State 30-7. Arkansas is undefeated, 45-10 win over Georgia Southern. Number 2, Georgia beat South Carolina 40-13. North Carolina, number 21, beat Virginia 59-39. Number 4, Oregon won over Stony Brook 48-7. BYU, crown them Pac-12 champs. They've won 3 games against Pac-12. They beat Arizona State 27-17. And, oh, yeah, you know how the Pac-12 is so awesome and they're so much better than the Big 12? UCLA, their best team, lost to Fresno State 40-37 late Saturday night. And one game I want to mention here, I watched Auburn-Penn State, watched most of the game. Why do we have if we have a game between the SEC and the Big Ten, why is there – this is always – irked me. Like, if it's the Big 12 versus the Big 10, why shouldn't we have like an SEC crew doing a Big 12, Big 10 game? We have, in this situation, Auburn, Penn State. It was at Penn State. Okay, so that's the Big 10 versus the SEC. and we had an SEC crew doing the officiating. And I'm going to tell you something. If you believe in conspiracy theories and you believe that there are some things out there that try to sway a game, you watched that game the other night. Penn State was taken away a down. They were forced to punt on third down because the eight officials who are all in charge of knowing what down it is did not know what down, thought it was fourth down because the person on the side had the wrong down. Well, that shouldn't be all on them. And so Penn State was saying they should have third down, and the official said, no, it's fourth down. I'm like, how do you not have – you have replay and review and everything else. And so they punted on third down. So they were robbed of a down, which was just absolutely pathetic by that officiating crew. Then there was a play where Penn State was going for it on fourth and one, and they had a big lineman that caught the direct snap. He was stopped initially. No whistle blew. They allowed forward progress. And then the Penn State offensive line and running back shoved him across the line of scrimmage. It was super clear. They replayed it on the TV, and you're waiting for the whistle. The whistle didn't happen until he got past the line of scrimmage. They marked the ball a yard behind the line of scrimmage, turnover on downs, and they didn't even review it. Then, later, Penn State, Auburn's quarterback, or was it Penn State that had that? Was intentional? No, it was Auburn quarterback. He didn't get outside the tackle box, throws the ball away. Nobody's even there. It would have been a sack and lost it down and all that. And they never even, they just said, nothing. He was clear. And there were three calls that was just like, are they making sure that Penn State loses this game? I started cheering for Penn State big time because I felt like the officials were against them. Mm. And I don't think I usually feel that way very often.
Yeah.
But those were two, the last one was a little bit, I mean, I think it was pretty bad still. But the first two were just egregious. How do you steal a down from a football team on their home field?
That's crazy.
That is insane. And, oh, yeah, how do you get it wrong on a fourth down and one when he got across the line and the whistle blew after he got the first down and you mark it a yard back claiming forward progress has stopped? Well, if that was the case, why didn't you blow your whistle? They're making it up as they were going. And yet Penn State overcame at that and still won. So I'm happy for him. Top 25 poll, Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Oregon jumps to 3, Oklahoma's 4, Iowa 5, Penn State all the way up to 6, K-State in a top 25 at number 25. So good for K-State. And Oklahoma State, by the way, not ranked in the AP.
Yeah, they've been at 22 in the coaches for some reason and not ranked in the AP.
So they're ranked in the coaches, but not – so in the coaches poll, it'll be two ranked teams playing on Saturday night. Okay, MIAA football, let's see here, Pitt State Gorillas, that's my team, baby, that's my alma mater. They won 48-32 on Northeastern State. Fort Hays State put a thumping on Lincoln, 72-0. Missouri Western beat Emporia State 38-37. Washburn loses their first game to Nebraska Kearney, 28-24. Nebraska Kearney's 3-0, and Northwest Missouri State all over Central Missouri State, 47-7. We're almost obligated. There is still baseball taking place, believe it or not, and the Royals are still losing.
Pitch gives it a pretty good ride. Left field, going back, Benintendi. Can't get it, it's gone. 7-1 Mariners. Home run, Mitch Haniger. His 34th RBI, number 84.
Royals lose 7-1. Jackson Kilwar once again struggles early in the game. Struggles throwing strikes and gets blitzed and hung in there for a little while after it. The Royals now back in action, are 67-82. They have a doubleheader today in Cleveland. Brady Singer on the hill for the boys in blue in game one. And then in game two, they haven't determined who's going to pitch for either team in game two yet, according to the Royals website right now. Major League Baseball standings, Tampa Bay looks like they're going to win the American League East. Houston, comfortable lead in the Central, or in the West, I should say, and the White Sox are going to win the Central. The wild card now is interesting. Boston has a one-game lead over Toronto, but they're both in the wild card spots. The Yankees now a game and a half behind Toronto for the last playoff spot. And, oh, yeah, Oakland now just a half game behind New York. So Yankees starting to struggle. And I must say it would just make my day if the Yankees didn't make the playoffs. It would not hurt me at all if the Yankees didn't make the playoffs. That would be terrific. In National League, the Giants have a one-game lead over the Dodgers. Milwaukee is going to win the Central. The East, Atlanta's got the lead right now. St. Louis has the last wildcard spot by three games over Cincinnati, 3.5 over Philly, and 3.5 over San Diego. Looks like San Diego, with all that money they put in. And did you see the other day Machado and Tatis got into it in the dugout? This is a team that has not lived up to their expectations at all. Three games over 500, and it looks like their goose is cooked. And it looks like St. Louis will get in. And you're going to get in against, and here's the thing that's going to be, this is the thing I don't like. The Dodgers and the Giants. The Giants right now have 97 wins. The Dodgers have 96. One of those two teams is going to not win the division, going to have to play a one-game winner-take-all wild card game against a team that right now has 17 less wins than the St. Louis Cardinals. And granted, you'll get that game at home, but I don't like it. You play 162 games, and the only advantage you get is you get one game at home against the Cardinals, who you're almost 20 games better than. I just don't like it. I really don't. I think a best two out of three is still a better way of going, because all it takes is St. Louis have one unbelievable pitcher or a stud pitcher, you know, and that would take care of that. Although Max Scherzer right now is absolutely unhittable for the Dodgers.
I was like, you think about the Dodgers, and it's like when that happens too, then you have to go with a pitcher that you want to go with because you have to win that game.
And it hurts you the next
series. Rotation in the DS too, yes. The divisional series. But I think the Dodgers have the arms to work around that part of it.
Right.
But for other teams, sometimes they don't. Like, you know, it they need to send that guy out there, and if you win that game, it messes up your rotation for the divisional series. Now, if you're supposed to be in that game because you didn't win enough anyway,
right,
then that's your own fault. But, Dodgers have all those wins, and now it's a one-game thing.
Yeah. The two good divisional races left. Everything else is decided. Atlanta's got a two-game lead over Philly in the NL East, and then we mentioned the Giants have one-game lead over the Dodgers, although both teams will make the playoffs, whereas the NL East, winner of the division's in, loser will not be in. So kind of interesting to see how that all works when it comes to Major League Baseball and the playoffs. All right, that'll put a wrap on the sports ticket for today. A lot that we had covered. Tomorrow, Danny Welniak of KCTV5 in Kansas City will join us to talk Chiefs and talk about what went wrong last night, as the Chiefs are now 1-1 after losing to the Ravens 36-35 in a game they led by 11 and had the ball at midfield, but could not win.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.